on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers, this is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor, Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to Invest Talk. This is our Tuesday, December 9th, 2025 edition, and fourth quarter is racing to the finish line. And with regards to the markets and your portfolio, now is the time to refocus. Refocus on what's happening in the market, what's happening in your portfolio. We did a webinar earlier today. We talked about using this time to do tax loss selling and really reassess where you're at and be strategic about your decisions. And not act with emotions, not act with fear and greed, which most people tend to do, but focus on the facts on the ground. Once again, not how you wish the world to be, but how the market is. You have to be frank with yourself, frank with what's going on in the market, and call balls and strikes. And that's what we're here to do, is help guide you so that your decisions are strategic, that they're based on good fundamental principles and the correct data, data that matters, data that will impact economies, markets, sectors, and asset classes. So that's what this hour is about, each and every day on Invest Talk is about. And so we do that mainly by answering your finance and investment questions, as well as bringing you topics and data that we think are important for you to consider. So that's what this hour will be dedicated to. Now, I hope you all had a chance, or most of you had a chance, to attend our wealth webinar that Luke and I shared earlier today. And it was the year-end tax toolkit, RMD planning, tax loss harvesting, and deferral strategies. Good news, if you did not show up, you still can catch the replay. It is now posted over on our YouTube channel. So head over to Invest Talk channel on YouTube and you can check out the episode. You weren't part of the Q&A session, but at least you'll catch the bulk of what we talked about. So that's what we looked at earlier today. But let's move on to this hour. What's in front of us? What you always have to do. You always want to look in the through the windshield, not the rearview mirror. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to power forward for this hour. We're going to talk about today's market performance here in a little bit. We'll run down the show topics as usual, but we'll tackle this first caller question now.
Hello, Invest Talk. I am calling to get your opinion on the stock PepsiCo. The symbol is PEP. Wanted to see what would be a good entry point and if the dividend is sustainable. And I'll be listening to your podcast for the answer. Thanks so much.
All right, looking at PepsiCo, and this is one in the long line of questions I've had recently on dividend-paying packaged food companies. Companies like Heinz and General Mills and Kraft and all these, they have brands that have been around for a long, long time. The problem is that the people that tended to buy those products, unfortunately, they're older. A lot of them are passing on. Others are refocusing on their diet, and you know, maybe they're taking some sort of GLP-1, et cetera. And overall, the demand, there's a lot of headwinds in this business. And then you come with inflationary environment. These type of consumer durable names tend to be hurt by inflation more than others. Why? Because they have a lot of inputs to their business, not just the raw ingredients that go into the products, but also, you know, raw ingredients to go to the products. And remember, they've kind of pushed those costs down over the years to put cheap ingredients, you know, high fructose corn syrup, things like that. There's not a lot of room to trade down for something cheaper. So they're feeling that inflation there. Then there's transportation costs, there's labor costs, all of this that they can't really escape. And so that tends to be a headwind for these type of businesses. On top of that, and you know what's another headwind? Is that dividend. And once again, this is not just about Pepsi. Pepsi is included in this. I will tell you that. Pepsi is included in this because their payout ratio is 105%. Their cash dividend payout ratio is 111%, meaning they're paying out more than their earnings, more than their cash flows in this dividend. And so what happens here is that is a headwind to their business because they can't go and reinvest their cash flows and their earnings into improving the quality of their business, improving their brands. They're kind of resting on their laurels of their brands. And this is a huge message to every income investor out there. If you're buying dividend paying stocks, if you're owning dividend paying stocks, you look at these type of big names and you think, oh, it's safe because it has a big name like PepsiCo. And their reality is their business is just not growing. And in many ways, their profit margins are being squeezed. Okay. And you see that back in 2016, their operating margins were about 16.5%. Now they're down to about 14.5%. And during the inflationary impulse, and this is a good example here, their profit margins went down to 13.5%. Okay. So they bounced back recently because of inflation came down, you know, a good amount from, you know, high single digits to 2.5-3% recently. And that peaked out back in the end of last year around 15.5% profit margin. Now we're rolling over again the 14.5% margin. Why? Because inflation is reaccelerating. So this is showing you that they feel the inflation. These type of companies feel the inflation. And in an inflationary environment, you don't want these names. So that's a general backdrop of these packaged food companies. But then you layer on, okay, how much debt do they have? They have about $45 billion in net debt on a $200 billion market cap. That's not terrible. But if they continue to pay out their dividend in this way, their debt's going to continue to rise. So they either have to cut their dividend or just continue to layer on more and more debt. And so this is the type of name where the dividend growth will probably stall out. And it's the earnings growth this year is supposed to be negative 1%. And throughout next year, 3-4% growth in revenue. That's basically the rate of inflation. So I do not see any reason to buy this. And then you look at the chart. You go to zoom out to a weekly chart. It's in a downtrend. It's been in a downtrend since the middle of 2023. Peaked out around nearly $200 per share. Now we're at $144. So this is a message not just about PepsiCo, but once again, a lot of the packaged food companies out there have think about dividend paying stocks, especially in the consumer durable, so consumer packaged food space. Thanks for the call. Now, we have a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes, and our main focus is about the holiday debt trap, buy now, pay later, and how it's phantom debt that's building up in the economy. And Adobe Analytics reports that buy now, pay later usage hit an all-time high of $10.1 billion last month. So we're going to dig into that story and the business of buy now, pay later. What does it mean for consumers? What does it mean for the broader economy? And the companies that are buy now, pay later companies, right? Are they issuing this debt? So we'll dig into that story. In addition, commodities are breaking out. What is that telling us? Is that telling us that the economy is going to reaccelerate next year after decelerating for most of this year? Or is it telling us something more idiosyncratic about some particular commodities? So we'll look at that. Also, consumer sentiment continues to be very poor, but consumers, while not spending like gangbusters, are not following along with their dour view of the economy. Okay, we'll talk about why that might be. And then China exporting a bunch of steel and then aluminum as well. So we're going to look at that story and how that might feed into the metals market performance. So that's what's on the docket for me, as well as voice bank calls. One is on Primoris Services, PRIM, and then how to short a stock. And they also have some questions that came in via the comment section over on the InvestTalk YouTube channel as well. But we're going to head to a quick break. Please remember that you can call anytime and leave your questions on the InvestTalk voice bank. If you're listening via our live stream or possibly on AM 1220 in the Bay Area, you can call right now at 888-99-CHART. Up next, I will comment on today's market activity.
For the holidays, KPP Financial is excited to introduce a high-value, limited-time offer, the Holiday Estate Bundle. It's specifically designed to help new households quickly establish a solid foundation for their financial and personal legacies before the year ends. When you begin a financial relationship with KPP Financial and complete your onboarding by December 31st, 2025, you'll receive essential estate planning documents as an added benefit, and it's all powered by our trusted partner, Trust and Will. Learn more about the Holiday Estate Bundle now at investtalk.com, and while you're there, fill out a portfolio review to get started. And now the phone lines are open and waiting for your finance and investment questions, 888-99-CHART. Millions of downloads have proved there's value in every InvestTalk podcast. Call anytime, 24/7, InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's go take a look at the market today. Overall, it was kind of a ho-hum day. The Dow was down about 38 basis points, S&P down 6 points, 0.09%, so very minimal move, although closed near the lows of the day. NASDAQ barely up, 30 points, so about 0.13% on the day, really driven by nice little gains out of Broadcom and Google and Tesla, and Meta was down about 1.5%. Really, the weakness was in healthcare overall. Down, literally down about 1.5%. A lot of names kind of in that 1.5% negative territory on that front. And JP Morgan down 4.6% after some comments, I believe it was from some executive talking about the strength of the consumer that was weaker than the market had been expected. So interesting, that didn't really spread to the rest of the market, but certainly was notable. The market reacted, at least on that stock. Now, tomorrow is Fed Day. So we're going to get most likely a Fed rate cut. But as I always say, it's not about the cut. It's about what they say going forward, about the balance sheet, about future rate policy, et cetera. That will be far more important than whether or not they cut, because they're going to cut. The market has priced that in. They don't like to surprise the market. If they didn't want to cut, they would have messaged that many weeks ago. Now, treasuries were mixed across the curve, yields up 3 basis points at the short end. So a little bit worried that they will have that hawkish cut. That's what kind of the market is expecting, I think. And so if we don't get a hawkish cut, that could allow the market to move higher. And I think this is the last real big catalyst is before we head into year end. And so I think this could set the stage for how the market really reacts between now and year end. Gold finished up 0.4% on the day. Silver with a nice big breakout. That continues to be strong. Precious metals in general and commodities in general just continue to ascend. And so something we'll talk about a little bit later. Bitcoin was up 2.8%, best off its best levels. And that's one of those ones where you really have to continue to watch that to see what type of signal it's giving you. Right now, Bitcoin's right at about 93,000. So well off the 81,000 or so lows that we saw about a week and a half ago. And it's stair-stepping higher. It's on an uptrend over the short term. But if you zoom out to a one-year chart, obviously it's still in a downtrend. Once again, needs to get above 100,000 for really this downtrend to say it's ended. And that's certainly possible. We're at 93,000 right now. What else? On the economic front, we just had the jobs that are JOLTS, job openings, were higher than expected. So that was good. But the hiring rate was only 3.2%, down from the prior 3.4%. So even though it looks like openings are higher, people aren't hiring, actually, at a faster rate, actually a slower rate. So that was interesting as well. And quits were down 1.8%, down from 2% prior. So clearly, the employees are not seeing other economic opportunities for them to quit their job. And that's the lowest it's been since May of 2020. So that was the market today, and we'll get a lot more fireworks tomorrow on Fed Day. Now we're going to a break. My focus point is coming up, the holiday debt trap, buy now, pay later, phantom debt, and more answers to your finance and investment questions right now at 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk is ready 24/7 for your finance and investment questions.
I'm hoping you'll give me your take on Ormat Technologies, ORA.
Is it a good idea to sell your losses in a Roth IRA and just use whatever you have left to reinvest into better stocks?
Don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
In the early days, InvestTalk was Jerry Klein and Steve Peasley. Now the torch has been passed and a new generation of hosts is on the job, Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero. So when you've got finance and investment questions, don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Did you know half of all holiday shoppers told PayPal that they will finance their purchases with buy now, pay later? You believe that? And overall, consumers spent about $10 billion in November. And according to Adobe, total holiday spending financed by buy now, pay later schemes are projected to be 11% higher by the end of this year than it was last year. So clearly, consumers are loving this trend. And you might say, okay, well, then that is a good investment. And maybe even this is an opportunity for the average person to get a interest-free loan. Well, let's talk about that. Now, the biggest provider of buy now, pay later loans are Klarna, right? Klarna. And how it works is they charge the merchants a combination of a flat transaction fee and a variable percentage of the sales fee in exchange for basically access to their customers. And so they immediately get paid. Yes, it charges higher than what Visa and MasterCard charge for payments, usually on average about twice as expensive. But the argument here is that for the business, you're getting access to consumers that would not be able to afford it otherwise. Okay. Now, Klarna takes on the risk of the debt from the consumer or any of these buy now, pay later companies. But the catch here is they don't conduct credit checks. So they're giving zero interest loans with no credit checks. You think that's going to work out very well? What do we think? Probably not. So if a consumer fails to pay, they charge late fees and then go to the collections. You might say, hey, they're growing in a big, big way. What's Klarna? K-L-A-R is the symbol. K-L-A-R. Okay. Now, you might think this is good business. Last quarter, revenue growth was up 28%. And it's been growing consistently in its sales. Problem is that losses have been growing consistently as well. They operate with a negative 3.5% profit margin. And since the recent IPO in September, it's down about 31%. And if you go based on what SoftBank paid for it back in 2021, you know, SoftBank historically overpaying for these terrible businesses, it's down 80% from that valuation. So they're trying to do things like have different membership options and things like that. But this is something that you have to apply to a lot of the, or all of the buy now, pay later companies, is that it's just not a good business. It's basically high risk lending, even riskier than credit card companies, because even credit card companies run a background check, run a credit check. They do not. And then they're charging, yes, higher than Visa or MasterCard are charging, but still only, you know, 5-6%, not enough to cover the defaults. Now, the Partners love it. Companies like Victoria's Secret, GameStop, Airbnb, Saks Fifth Avenue, etc. Because once again, they get access to more customers. But for investors, it clearly is not a good endeavor, a smart endeavor. Now, if it's bad for the business, it might be good for the consumer. A lot of people see it as short-term interest-free loan. And in some ways, that's true, as long as you can use it responsibly, just like the traditional form of credit on the consumer side, and that's called the credit card. Been around for decades. I don't know if you heard of it, but it's also an interest-free loan. You can charge today, and you typically don't have to pay for, you know, weeks, if not 6 to 8 weeks into the future. Very similar to what Klarna is doing, or any of these buy now, pay later companies. So on top of that, you get cash back. Credit card with cash back, whether that's Apple Card or any, most of these credit cards that are out there. So for the consumer, it doesn't really make sense either. Unless you can't get credit otherwise, and you're just going to default, which happens a lot. And one of the reasons why these companies continue to lose money. Delinquencies are just very high, and that's in a low unemployment rate environment. What happens when unemployment rate truly ticks higher in a material way? Now, they also charge APR up to 36%, so similar to credit cards. But clearly, it is a case where with a credit card, you can build credit. With Klarna or any of these buy now, pay later companies, you're not getting any of that. So it doesn't really make sense for the investor investing in these companies or the consumer. Now, the next Invest Talk, we'll talk about this topic. The discount retail signal is the consumer trading down. Dollar General shares have surged 14% after beating earnings. And this contrasts with luxury weakness and signals of a shift in consumer behavior. That story is for tomorrow. But for now, I'm Justin Klein. I'm ready to take your calls now at 888-99-CHART.
The InvestTalk phone lines never close. And now, Justin Klein is here. Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, InvestTalk. This is Zach calling from Kentucky. I had two questions about Primoris, tickers PRIM. Held it for a few years. It's done really well. I was looking to add even more to my position just to get more exposure to this type of industry. It looks like it's heavily tied to like infrastructure related to the energy grid. So kind of a play on AI without being tied to like a data center or like a chip company. And then my second question about it is, each quarter it seems to have like a growing backlog. Would you look at backlog as like guaranteed cash, like these deals are for sure, you know, likely to happen, a good sign of a good investment for years to come since its backlog is, you know, 3 years of backlog. What does backlog mean for you guys? And what do you think of this company? And I'll listen on the show. Thank you.
All right, looking at Primoris Services, PRIM, and this has been in a good run because, yes, it is in the AI data center adjacent type of business. It operates through a range of services, engineering, procurement, construction, and maintenance services for energy, renewable energy, energy storage, renewable fuels, petrochemical industries, etc. So it's it does installation and maintenance of new and existing natural gas and electric utility distribution and transmission systems. So a lot of these data centers are setting up natural gas facilities and natural gas burning facilities that produce electricity. And obviously they're benefiting from that in their business. Their earnings have gone from pre-pandemic 2019 to from $1.61 to this year $5.49. So I like it. PRIM is the symbol. And I like where this is at. The technicals are continue to be strong. Relative strength is 94. So I like that. Now, when it comes to backlog, the way we look at backlog is, yes, that we wouldn't want to call it guaranteed. Because just because there's a backlog doesn't mean that backlog can and will be executed on. Now, and that can be both sides. It could be from those who want the work done and just eventually cancel on it, right? Maybe it takes too long or they lose funding or something like that to make the project go ahead. Or vice versa, the company may not have the ultimate resources to fulfill that contract or fulfill that order. And so it can be kind of canceled once again on both ends. But obviously, it's a very good sign that they have that lined up. And as long as both sides are willing and ready to play ball at that given time, well, then they'll get new business. And we certainly like that. And this is a very profitable name. Profits have gone from return equity around 10-12% a couple of years ago now to 19%. So clearly that backlog is allowing them to raise their prices and really squeeze a lot more profits out of each dollar. Operating margins are now at 5.7%. That is near an all-time high. So I like what you're looking at. The technicals are good. I like, and so adding to it, as long as it's not too much of a position, too high of a position in your portfolio, anything over 5 would probably be too much. But as long as it's not over 5, I have no problem adding to Primoris, PRIM. Thanks for the call. 888-99 chart, 888-992-4278 is how you get through and ask your question live on today's show, just like Gene from Concord is doing right now. He's looking at FLY.
Yes, I'm here. Thank you for taking the call. Yes, what's your thoughts on Firefly Aerospace Technology, FLY? At one point, it was up to $70-something dollars. It dropped down to, $12 or something. It's hovering around $19.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder if I should get out. I'm in it for like $25 a share, and it's kind of just hanging around $19 now.
What made you buy it?
Well, I just heard in Austin, Texas, that they were funded some money for a lot of expansion. And at one point, they were, regarded as a good future and in association with the military as well.
Okay. So, what I call this is a story stock. This is, and that's what you did. You just told a story. But I'm not after stories. I invest in businesses. Businesses. That's what good investing is about. It's not about investing in a story. It's about investing in good businesses that turn profits for shareholders, that earn returns for shareholders. And this is the exact antithesis of that. It's burning cash at a pretty alarming rate. Return equity is negative 130%. Return on invested capital is negative 85%. Okay, that means that if $100 goes into the business, within a year, 85 cents of that has been burned up, lost, okay? So yeah, they might have raised money, they got an investment, blah, blah, blah. That's a cool story. But are they turning this into a profitable business? Is anything improving here? And the answer is simply no. Next year, earnings are supposed to be negative $3.57. Last year, they lost $1.58, okay? So you clearly see the trends are very bad. This year, they're supposed to lose about $1.70, $1.80. I have to add these up here. But it's not looking good. This is a story stock. And you just simply see what's happening with the price chart. Like you said, it was at 70. That's because it IPO'd in August. In August. That's not that long ago. It was trading at $70 per share. What this is, they dumped this on the public. The investment bank, the company, they were just trying to get out. Spin the story, the narrative, get the average investor to buy in. And they took their money. This is what you have to avoid. These are what I call the pitfalls. So you know I say you want to capitalize on opportunities and avoid the pitfalls? This is the epitome of a pitfall. You're lucky you didn't buy in at 70. You bought it at 25. So you're down to 1945. Sell it tomorrow. There's no reason to be owning this name. Your capital is just going to be eaten up. They're going to continue to issue more and more shares and dilute you, the shareholder. And they're going to sell the dream and burn capital until infinitum. And they're going to sell the dream of space because that's what this is all about. It's a cool story. But that's not what investing is about. The coolest story in investing is a good business. That's a cool story. I love that story. That's my favorite story. These stories make me sick because they take advantage of people's hopes and dreams of a better world and that they can go and make this big, great, grandiose thing. And 99 times out of 100, it doesn't turn into a good business. Yes, there are the anecdotes where, yes, it turns out. But when you see the chart, it's a signal. The market is telling you that this is not going to work out. Nothing about this business is a good business. It is not a business. It is a storytelling machine. It's a stock issuing machine. It's there to make money for the executives and for their investment bank that issues shares for them. And it is to steal money from the pockets of the average investor. That's what these type of companies are in existence to do. And it's your job to avoid them like the plague. Thanks for the call, Gene. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. That's how you get through and ask your question on today's show. We have about 50 minutes left, so get your call in now. Thank you for that call, Gene. Sorry to be so harsh, but I'm here to give wisdom. I've been doing this for 25 years. I've seen this game over and over. I've seen the average investor get duped constantly. And it's why this show is in existence, is to help the average person not get the wool pulled over their eyes by Wall Street and get bought into fear and greed. And in this case, it's greed. And it's also the hope of a better future. And we all hope for that. But there's also the realism around these businesses. And the reality is they're kind of like a biotech name that often just dilutes shareholders into oblivion. Let's talk a little about commodities. Commodities are clearly in an uptrend. The Bloomberg Commodity Index, which is the most popular aggregate index of commodities, is at its highest level since 2023. And that's with oil being the heaviest weighting within that commodity index. And oil just really can't get off the mat. It's just kind of hanging around the 50, 60 mark. Not an uptrend, just not a downtrend either, just sideways, really. So it's everything else that's really driving this uptrend. From base metals like nickel and copper to other types of energy like uranium and natural gas, and even some soft commodities. Agriculture doing well also. Now, what are the most notable ones? Like I said, copper is probably the most notable. And then second would be natural gas. And the reason that these two are make you stand up, let's say they make you stand up and take notice. Reason for that is because they are typically tied to economic growth. Copper is always Dr. Copper historically. Copper's going up. That means industrial capacity is rising and the economy is doing well. And natural gas is usually an input into electric energy, into heating, as well as to industrial inputs in general. So those are two key barometers for economic growth. So many are speculating that because those are doing well, the economy is likely to reaccelerate into 2026. Not only here in the United States, but around the world. And I modestly agree with that. Why is that? Because the Fed is going through an easing cycle. And you're starting to get a steeper yield curve. Now, what does that mean? It means that the short end is going down and then the long end is rising. Now, if the long end rises too much, that's an issue. But as long as it stays relatively contained, what that does is it gives incentives for banks to lend because they pay deposits on the short end, whatever that is, Fed funds rate, somewhere around that. And then they lend based on usually the 10-year treasury into the mortgage market, into the corporate debt market, et cetera. And if those are going higher, well, then they can lend at higher rates as long as there's demand for lending. And so that usually creates an economic reacceleration because commercial banks lend in that environment. They lend in the mortgage market. They lend to companies that are trying to expand production into AI data center capacity, et cetera. And you're starting to see a little bit of this even around the world. There's improved industrial production in Germany, obviously coming off a strong low recently. Improvement in business and consumer confidence in Japan. You're seeing improved job reports in Canada. So you are seeing faint signs of life around the world. Even the holiday sales, they weren't great, but they also weren't terrible either. And then you look at the corporate debt market. Defaults remain very low. In fact, they're actually rolling over, despite what you have in the private credit market. Now, there's problems there, I think, but in the public credit markets, everything overall seems relatively contained. And then you look at the trends in the markets. Talked about in the webinar earlier, but small caps are starting to outperform. Those tend to be economically sensitive. Transports, industrial stocks, etc. They tend to, they're starting to do better than the broader market, even outperforming some of the Mag 7 names. And that is a sign of economic reacceleration. So if you look at the market trends, not the economic data, it is actually signaling a reacceleration in the economy into next year. Now, does that mean that you are out of the woods and you don't get a recession next year? No, that could be a short-lived thing. It could cause a short-term burst in credit, and then that fades. And I think that is kind of likelier, right? Where you get that short-term burst, maybe it lasts the full year through 2026, and maybe you have more issues in 2027, who knows? But that is kind of usually the end of the cycle here. This is the end of the cycle, is this last burst of liquidity coming from commercial banks. But we're not there yet. Doesn't mean we're at the end of the cycle. It's just entering the last stage of the cycle. I talked a few months ago. I said, we're in like the early eighth inning of this growth of economic cycle. Well, I think now you're starting to enter definitely the bottom of the eighth, maybe the top of the ninth. Okay. But there's still time in the clock, right? We just had the great World Series and there's still time in the ballgame. Now, what could you say, okay, this is not a reflection of the economy reaccelerating? Because that's possible as well. One is high natural gas demand for artificial intelligence data centers. A colder winter is coming on board as well. And LNG exports are reaccelerating. I think it was Germany saying that they're going to wean themselves off Russian gas by next year or something like that. I remember that story. So that's a big factor why natural gas prices are going up. And then copper is rallying because deficit. Demand continues to rise because of data centers and just not new supply coming on. So the conclusion is, yes, it is a signal that the economy is probably reaccelerating, but it won't save us from the end of the cycle, which I think is relatively near. This is InvestTalk. I'm Justin Klein. We have one goal here each and every weekday. It's help you achieve your own version of financial freedom. And our work continues after this final break. So get your questions in right now at 888-99-SHARP.
For the holidays, KPP Financial is excited to introduce the Holiday Estate Bundle. When you begin a financial relationship with KPP Financial and complete your onboarding by December 31st, 2025, you'll receive essential estate planning documents as an added benefit. Learn more about the Holiday Estate Bundle now at investtalk.com. And while you're there, fill out a portfolio review to get started.
Now we're going to go talk to Bill in Northern California asking about Netflix, listening on AM 1220 KDOW. How you doing, Bill? Do you own Netflix or looking to buy it?
Hi. Thank you. Yeah, I started a small position a while earlier this year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's had pretty major pullback recently. And notwithstanding all this noise around the recent acquisition, but I'm more interested in, you know, long-term position on this. Would you say now is a reasonable time to add to my position, or?
Well, it's clearly in a downtrend. It's clearly in a downtrend, and that's the near-term issue. And it doesn't hit major support until about $89 per share. Now we're at 96, so we're getting there. The problem is that even at that level, it's still pretty egregiously overvalued. You know, we're forward PE around 38 times, And I think there's a tell here in their attempted acquisition of Warner Brothers Discovery. And that is that they just don't have a lot of other growth drivers here. And last quarter, revenue growth is up 17%. They've kind of maxed out. I think $25 a month is probably the high end of what they can charge for their premium service. And, you know, they keep raising it and they keep bringing in ad revenue because they have an ad tier now. And I think they've been doing some good things to kind of bifurcate their base a little bit. But I think they've reached the limit on that. And you look at their profits, last quarter was only 9%. So you're going to pay 40 times for a company whose profits are clearly, profit growth is clearly slowing. You know, that's a big worry for me. Now, it's certainly a good business, but I just think there's a lot more downside to go. History says that this isn't cheap until you get to, you know, a book value closer to about 5 or 6 times, about 15 times. Okay, so, you know, I think there's still plenty of room to go down. It's even if you look at things like, you know, its forward P ratio, it doesn't usually get cheap until you get into the high 20s. So, and we're at 38. So that's about a third from here. So you're talking closer to between $60 and $70 per share. That would be an area that would be interesting to me to pick up Netflix. And so I would continue to wait on it. I see no reason to own this until there's some sort of clear reversal signal or gets reasonably cheap enough. Because once again, you know, they're clearly signaling to the market that, hey, growth is a problem. We don't know another way to really drive additional revenue, additional profits besides making an acquisition. And ultimately, they probably got bailed out. They probably are going to pay too much for Warner Brothers Discovery. But ultimately, I just see no reason to be buying Netflix currently.
Very good. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for the call. And let's roll in one last listener question now.
Hey, guys. It's James calling from Georgia. And I just wanted to ask you about one stock that I'm looking at, and it is going to be Entergy ETR. If you could run that down for me. Big fan of the show. Hope you guys have a great day. Thanks.
Looking at Entergy ETR is the symbol, engaged in electric power production and retail distribution to 3 million customers in Arkansas, Louisiana, and Mississippi. So it's a utility name, but it's been growing pretty consistently. And the stock price has really taken off since December of 2023, when it was around $45 per share. Now it's at $93, so it's over doubled in just 2 years. And if you say that's kind of crazy for a utility company, the answer is, yeah, it kind of is. Okay. So it's certainly on the expensive side. Clearly, there's an AI data center demand growth here. Last quarter, revenue growth was up 12%, quarter before that, 13%, which for a utility company in this region is very high. So I think you missed it. I think it's too expensive right now. I would want sentiment to change a little bit. And frankly, I think momentum is starting to wane on this name. So I would pass on Entergy for now, but name to have on the watch list if it gets back into the $60 range. Thanks for the call. Well, that about does it. I'm Justin Klein. If today's show made you think about your own financial picture in any way, your investments, your taxes, your retirement, especially in light of our wealth webinar today, I encourage you to head over to investtalk.com and schedule a portfolio review with myself or Luke. And if you want to catch the webinar, once again, you can catch the replay on our YouTube channel. Just head over there. And please remember to tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Independent thinking, shared success. This is InvestTalk. Good night.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights.
For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.